Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Well, hey, good morning and welcome to Life Change Church. We are jumping back into our sermon series entitled Stories. But before we do that, we have some awesome stuff planned. But before we do that, I'm going to give you just a whole bunch of announcements real quick because July is a big month for Life Change. It's going to be fun. And it starts off really this week with a bang. So tonight we do have Student Life here. So Student Life starts at 5 p.m. It's going to be an incredible time. So if you know a student between like grades 6th through 12th, make sure they get here because there's some giant competitions going on. So if they bring a Bible, they get some serious points. They bring a friend, they get like mad points. If they remember, if you're a student right now in this room, 6th to 12th grade, and you remember anything of what we talked about, you'll get points for that. Like, I mean, I'll give the main point. If you can just share the main point, I think you'll get points for that. Try not to fall asleep, I understand. But tons of points going on, and they're just having a blast through this month, which kind of leads up to their camping trip this month, which is July 21st through the 23rd. So that's a camping trip that's going on for Student Life, and there's actually registration forms at the Connect desk. So if you're a student, check out that. There's a lot of ways to get involved and be a part of it here as well. And then also this week, it's July 4th week, so we're going to celebrate, and we're going to celebrate as a church. So a couple things. Tomorrow, there's going to be a couple groups at the OSU Newark Fireworks. So if you are interested and you want to hang out, we're going to be kind of in that middle field by the pond. I'm not really sure what that's called, but you can just go. No, if you're coming alone, you'll have somebody to sit with, so you can just come find one of us and just sit with us and say, hey guys, what's going on? And we'll just welcome you in. There's a couple groups here and there that you can find, so be a part of that. And then huge event is this Tuesday, July 4th, is the Granville Parade, the Granville 4th of July Parade. And we've been a part of this the last few years. And this is just an incredible event where really we come together as a church because we get there at 9:30 because the gates do close. So I will tell you, be there at 9:30. And then we can really hang out for about an hour because we actually don't start walking until about 10:45, 11 o'clock. So we hang out together as a church for an hour. It would be a blast. And then once we start walking, we start loving everybody around in the Granville area. And we pass out 1,500 Frisbees. I've got tons and tons of candy. I won't judge you if you do steal a piece of candy in that hour and a half beforehand. I'll just tell you that. But we'll pass out tons of candy and just pass out free smiles as well. So that's this Tuesday. And if you notice, we do have t-shirts out in the foyer. So we have t-shirts available. If you pre-ordered them, they're bagged up and ready to go. It's $10 for an adult shirt, $5 for a kid's shirt. And then we do have extra adult shirts. If you did not pre-register or pre-order some of those, there's still some there that you can get as well. So I think that's it. And then finally, yes, July 30th. I'm telling you, there's so much going on in July. It's just a blast. July 30th, we are taking Life Change on the road. And they're actually just taking it up the road a little bit to Velvet Ice Cream into the Old Mill. So we are in the Shelter House B on that day. And we're going to have a service at 10:30. So we're not going to do this 9 o'clock service. So all you 9 o'clockers, remember, you can sleep in that day and then you can come up at 10:30 to Velvet Ice Cream. And what we're going to do is we're going to have just an incredible fun service where we'll have an acoustic set. Then we're going to go do baptisms in the river, which will be a blast. And then after that, we're going to do a picnic together with everybody as a giant church family. Do a picnic together. And kids 12 and under, you will get a free scoop of ice cream that day. So if you're a kid 12 and under, you're in kids' life right now, so I'm not talking to you. It's a big deal, right? But, and all you adults are like, why can't I get a free scoop of ice cream? Because you're not a kid. That's why. You grew up. But that's kind of what's going on in July, and it's going to be a blast. But we're in the middle of this series entitled Stories. And what we're doing through this series is we're really digging in and we're looking at these stories of faith. If you remember last week, we jumped in and we looked at the story of Abel, which is a Bible story that maybe you kind of haven't really heard or haven't really dug into since like you were in like Sunday school or vacation Bible school. But we dug into that. And then the week before, I actually had the incredible honor to interview my dad as well. So if you missed both of those, I would always challenge you to go back and listen to those on our website at www.mylifechangechurch.com. But through these stories, I think we walked away knowing, like, you know what? I can live this life of faith out. And we can understand, too, that the faith, it takes us to the next level. It takes us to that next step. Because what we've seen through this series is this, is that faith unlocks a legacy. Faith unlocks a legacy. And really, it's found, this principle, this thought is found from the passage of Scripture where we started off the series in, which is Hebrews chapter 11. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me there. You go to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. And this is really kind of our memory verse. And again, if you don't have a Bible, I challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. Just an incredible resource you can take with you wherever you go. There's different reading plans, there's devotionals, there's reminders. That way you can be like the first thing you do when you wake up, read your Bible, right? That way it starts your day off right. But Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 2, it says this. It says, faith means being sure of the things we hope for, and it's knowing that something is real even if we do not see it. Faith is the reason we remember great people from the past. Right? Faith is the reason we remember great people who lived in the past. I mean, if you think about it, I've done a number of funerals, right? You go to a funeral, what do you hear about people? You hear about what they did. You hear about how they lived their life. You don't hear about how much money they had in their bank account. You don't hear about how many hours they worked, right? You don't hear about these things. But instead, you hear about the areas where they trusted God. You hear about the areas where they took a risk. You hear about the areas where they placed God first in their family, and they actually modeled God's love in each one of those situations. That's what faith is. And it causes people to remember us, right? Because faith unlocks a legacy. And today we have the incredible honor to hear of two guys who are living their life of faith out right now in hopes of leaving a legacy. And I'll tell you what, they've already left a legacy as well, because this week, again, is July 4th week. So this Tuesday, we are celebrating our freedom as a country, right? And these two guys have actually served our country on different military deployments as well so that we can celebrate our freedom as a country. And what they're going to do today is they're going to share a little bit about their freedom that they found in Christ and how it kind of goes along with how serving the country and kind of their story. So if you would, let me give just a big warm welcome to John Odom and Jim Long. Cool. First of all, it's an incredible honor to have both you guys up here. We met a little bit and kind of talked through your stories, and dude, these guys both have just amazing stories that you're going to walk away with, and you're going to understand, man, I can do this too. I can walk a life of faith. I can live a life of faith so that I can create a legacy. So let's start off, though. Let's get to know you a little bit. So John, if you would, tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe a little bit of your upbringing, maybe some family facts, and maybe even some of your work and career, and even some military stuff if you want to go there.
All right. So I'll try to keep it short, but... my name's John Odom. I've been coming here ever since the beginning, so I'm one of the beginners. I grew up in North Carolina, born and raised. From the age of 8, prior to that, I was with my mom, and we traveled a lot, so we didn't really have a permanent home, so we stayed in and out of motels and just different things, houses and homes. And then when I was 8 years old, my mom was actually taken from me, so due to some jealousy of a boyfriend. So I lost my mom at 8, which started my crazy, messed up life. So at that point, my grandmother, she took me in, adopted me and my older brother. My older brother, he still lives in North Carolina, and got into a little bit of trouble, fast-forwarding there a little bit. I had a troubled teens and into my almost to my 20s. But on my church background, I actually was in church all my life. That's one thing that my grandma and my uncle actually instilled in me. They said, you got to go to church, got to go to church. And I was always there. Didn't mean I was doing the right thing, but I was always in church. High school year was pretty crazy. I ended up giving my life to Christ during high school, but didn't last very long. Senior year rolled around, and from there I started working full-time jobs. I didn't go to college, didn't plan on it, but I was wrapped up with the same guys from high school, and it wasn't going very well, and I was like, I don't know what I want to do. And then I said a little prayer one morning, and there was some people that came into my mind due to some youth group stuff that I used to do. So if you're in youth, do it. You better be in youth, because it's a good base. Kevin and Tanya Bergenthin, they were the youth group leaders here in Ohio, and I came up here a couple times And I just called him. So I was like, hey, can I come up for a weekend? So I did. And long story short, they adopted me as well. So I moved up to Ohio. I left everything behind, started fresh. From there, I was going to start college, but didn't really happen because of high tuition and stuff like that. So one of my dad's good friends, he said, hey, you should join the Air Force Guard. So I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll check it out. Like less than 30 days later, I was joined in less than 30 days, and then I was on basic training. So took about a year, rolled through all my training and my basic training. Came back, went to college for a little bit. Went to a class that was a struggle for my girlfriend at the time, but my wife now, she actually failed the class. But I met...
Don't call her out or anything. Wow. We'll edit that later.
But I met her in college and got pregnant. Then we got married. And I just started working and supporting us from there. I did get a degree just recently. And I've been on multiple deployments, though. I've been on about 7 or 8. So that's my life in a nutshell.
So Jim, let's tell us a little bit about yourself as well. So,
well, I'm Jim Long. I grew up in Pickerington, so not completely local, but pretty close. And both my parents are music teachers, both teachers in Pickerington, retired now. And I grew up, I was a big athlete, 3-sport athlete all through school. Went to college right out of high school because basically that's just what you did. And I graduated from college in 2001, May of 2001, with a degree in German. You can laugh, it's okay. It is not a very marketable degree by itself. I discovered that the hard way, but it was just about a couple months after I graduated from college that my mom and dad separated. So what I thought was a perfect upbringing, I mean, a perfect family and everything, it was kind of dashed apart at that point. And then 9/11 hit in September, and obviously that had a pretty damaging effect on the economy as well. I wasn't finding a job. I was waiting tables with a college degree. And I also had felt this, like, huge need to be part of something bigger and serve something else. Like on September 12th, I actually was tempted to jump in my car and drive up to New York City just to say, I don't care if I just hand out water to people that are working. Eventually, that led me to talk to a Army recruiter that my dad's high school teacher. He had lunch duty and would stand there and talk to the Army recruiters that come into the high school. Talk to them, and at first I was talking about just doing the reserves, and then I decided, you know what, the reserves are for someone who's got a job they want to do, or they've got schooling they want to do, and I had neither, so I said, I'm just going to go all in, and went active duty Army, became a combat medic, my wife, who's in the nursery right now, but she was not with me on it at first until I put my foot down and said, well, I'm going whether you like it or not. And it was an incredible experience. It was something I felt like I had been searching my whole life for, something that was missing, and it didn't get filled with teams or fraternity in college or jobs or anything. I joined the military and I was a combat medic, and I felt like I'd found my purpose there. It was really cool. But that also included, which I'll cut this off right now, but it also included a year in Iraq in 2005, which, yeah.
Kind of changed things. So let's go into that a little bit. So, again, all these are stories we want to get to know you, but these are stories of faith, too. So, John, you kind of mentioned that, hey, you made a decision when you were in high school, but then it kind of didn't necessarily stick. You kind of rebelled against that pretty quickly. So tell us a little bit. We'll start with you, John, and then we'll go to Jim, kind of talk about how military, in a way, led that. But tell us a little bit about maybe your story of faith, how it got started, and kind of how things progressed in that area, too. So how you made a decision, really, to commit your life to the Lord.
Yeah, so like I said, I was in church my whole entire life. and I respected it. So I had a deep respect for it, so I never, like, wanted to fake it. So, yeah, like I said, I did give my life to God when I was in the summer before senior year. Didn't last long, lasted about 6 months, and I fell off the wagon pretty hard, like I said, my senior year. And that went for a while. So when I moved up to Ohio, I started pretty faithfully going to church and stuff like that. Had some bad experiences with some church, and it kind of soured me for a little bit. I still went to church, but then slowly but surely as I got married, it just kind of fell off. And there for a point, we didn't really go. I still prayed every once in a while, and I still had that respect for church, but yeah, I wasn't living any life for God. And then we had a government furlough, because I actually worked for the government full time, and which made us take a day off without pay every week. And Jared Lane, which he comes here, he asked me, he said, "Hey, I'm starting up a landscaping business. Do you want to start helping me one day a week?" And I said, "Absolutely." So I started helping him, and then he invited me to a small group. He said, "Hey, we got this small group. You want to come to the small group? It's pretty good." And I'm like, "I don't know." Well, Sarani found out about it, and she's like, "You're going to that small group." So we started coming every week, and I think about the third weekend, and this was actually the beginning of life change. This was the very first small group, you know, small session of people. So 3 weeks into it, I was driving in my car to work, like 7:30, October 4th, 2013, and you know, I gave in. You know, I'm like, I'm done. I've screwed up my life enough, and I'm ready to do what's right. So I'm not saying I haven't made the best decisions since then, but I've definitely kept a consistent faith. And that's something that, you know, has really been building over these last 3 or 4 years. I've never had a stronger relationship with God than I do right now. And the thing that was different from the past is when I would mess up, I always gave up. And I would walk away from it. But now I'm staying straight with it even when I make those bad decisions. And my faith has only grown stronger and stronger. And at this right now in my life, my faith has never been stronger. So,
cool. Amen. God has a way of messing you up in certain like situations and areas. And like whether you're driving to work at 7:30 in the morning or kind of even like what Jim or you kind of talked about, how God was kind of messing you up. Like you were searching for something and you searched for the army to find it. But maybe share a little bit about how God kind of messed you up and you kind of began a life of faith through that.
Well, I grew up in the Lutheran church for as long as I can remember. And one thing that you really didn't hear in the Lutheran church, at least where I went, was the importance of a personal relationship with Christ. It was very much you go to church on Sunday morning. I mean, every week it was 8:30 service, then Sunday school after that. And Sunday school for me and my sister while my parents went to breakfast with their friends. But they always said that was their Sunday school. But that idea of a personal relationship with Christ, pursuing Christ as you know, your personal Savior, that really wasn't something that was taught very much that I can remember. And so fast forward to when I got deployed, like when I enlisted, I knew going in, there was no doubt about it that we were all going to be going over. I mean, this was 2005 that I went, so I enlisted, signed my contracts about 3 months after the first wave of troops in 2003 had crossed over the border from Kuwait into Iraq. So there was no doubt in my mind we had two front war that I was going overseas. My introduction to deployment was, I remember the night before we convoyed from Kuwait into Iraq, I remember sitting by myself writing letters home to my parents and to my wife, like basically making sure that I said everything I wanted to say before we left, because I was scared. I mean, I was afraid of what might happen, you just rolling across the country. And sure enough, on the last day of our convoy, as we were getting into Baghdad, the truck in front of me in the convoy was hit with a roadside bomb. thankfully, thank God, that the timing on it or how it was built, something, it wasn't very good. It tore up equipment. It blew out some tires in the truck. They were able to drive away, but it left me and my truck as the first one with no one in front of us. We had some shoddy scrap iron in the, they had busted out the windows and just dropped it inside the doors as armored protection. We didn't have the fancy up armored trucks, so it was blocking our view in the truck that we couldn't see anything really behind us in the middle of downtown Baghdad in the middle of the morning. And that I was up in the window of my truck with my rifle out, trained, watching, saw a guy walking down the street that looked exactly like the description of the people we were supposed to watch for as a possible trigger man for a roadside bomb. And I was sighted in on this young man's head, watched him walk down the street, and just waiting to see, expecting something to happen, and then I was going to have to pull the trigger. Thankfully, that didn't happen. He met up with a little kid that had about 5 goats with him, and talked to him, and then turned around and walked the other way. And I figured that's an older brother coming to get his younger brother and the family goats. But that, what was probably a minute or so, but felt like forever, really left me feeling alone. That was the first couple days. We had a whole year to go, and I just kept getting more and more withdrawn. And I had friends, like my best friends were in other units. I couldn't talk to them. They were in other bases, other places, didn't know where they were, how they were doing, until one of them I'd see popped up on a list of casualties that had been killed. So that goes on for a year, to the point where I didn't want to talk to anyone, didn't want to see anyone. I was completely alone. And a lot of that had to do with, even though I know God was there now, I didn't have that personal relationship. And when we got back, eventually, I got medically retired. I had started to have medical problems over there. I had blackouts and was sleepwalking. PTSD, anxiety, was diagnosed with narcolepsy, all this kind of stuff. So I got medically retired out of the Army, and what I thought was my answer filling me up was taken away from me, and it really broke me down even more, to the point where I was to the point where I don't know how my wife put up with me just staying in our basement, watching TV, and I hardly ever, I might not come up for a day or two at a time, just because I was just so messed up. I mean, I really don't have the words to describe how low it was.
So how did, so even that, I mean, it seemed for you, and again, totally different stories, and I think all stories, they're different. Like our lives of faith are different, and there's things that push us different ways. So for you, military definitely broke you down in a way so that you could find Christ, and then for you, military kind of in a way tested your faith probably a little bit more as well. So Jim, talk to us a little bit about how, once you're broken down, what did you do to grow your faith and even find Christ in that low point? And then what did you do to continually dig, really allow Christ to dig yourself out of there?
Well, one thing, I'm a huge mixed martial arts UFC fan, and so that was one of the things I was always watching when I was downstairs by myself in the basement. And one night I was watching a fight, and for the main event, one of the fighters, he was coming to the cage, and the walk-in music started playing, and it was a bunch of kids singing the song, "Our God is an Awesome God," which I was like, hey, I know that song, because I remember it from church camp growing up. And then all of a sudden it broke into like this beat and a rap song. And I was like, whoa, that's really cool. I like that. I got to find out who does that song, whatever. So I searched for it. And it's R. Swift is the name of the guy, if anybody's interested. But, that led me to discover that there's actually a really booming, growing Christian hip-hop music movement, which I enjoy all music. I have music teacher parents, but I'm a big hip-hop rap fan. So I started exploring that, and first CD I bought was a Lecrae CD, and there's a song on it called Take Me As I Am, and every word in this song was like just mimicking how I felt. And the whole idea of the song is that you don't have to clean your life up. You don't have to fix yourself before you can come to Christ. He wants you to just come to him so that he can clean you up. And once I really listened to that song, it was like things started to change. We were going to church, but things started to change. I realized the anger I was always filled with started to just dissipate and go away. And it was something weird. I didn't really know what to make of it at the time. It just felt different. I really started to connect with some guys at church. We were going to the firehouse that were leading me, because I just felt like they didn't see me as this broken person. They saw me, what I could be. And so I just started opening myself up, and I started looking at things and seeing all these things that had broken me down were really things that were being used to lead me to a point where I was willing to say, okay, God, I'm ready to listen. And figure out that it wasn't me so much pursuing God as he had been pursuing me for so long and using so much to kind of steer me one way or the other, that I stopped believing in coincidence. And I just said, I don't ever want to try and play chess against God, because man's thinking like man or woman, he is thinking about a million moves ahead. But that just created, having these guys that were there to help lead me and build into me as I was really discovering my faith and seeing how much I had been steered by God in a certain direction, I just couldn't deny it anymore.
Cool. And then some of that's just incredible. And it's funny, like, when I actually met with both of you guys separate, but like some of your parts of your story are very similar, some of the things you did. So for John, for you, again, deployment was more of a testing of your faith. And so maybe share a little bit about how deployment tested, and then I'll follow up kind of with what Jim said. And you can kind of steal some of his stuff, because you already said it to me first as well, but it's interesting how that goes. But how was deployment kind of a testing to your faith, and then what did you do to try to overcome that?
So just recently I did do 6 months overseas in Abu Dhabi, and it's the longest deployment I ever did. I didn't have to do a year, but I'm in the Air Force, so we're a little went like pansies, but...
I saw 3 different Air Force rotations come through in our 1 year.
But one of the big things, and I didn't mention it to you when we were talking the other day, but considering my childhood and what I had went through, I never saw the things where God was faithful. So I lost my mom, but a lot of people don't know, I got 4 moms back. So I have 4 people that are considered my mom. I got a wife, I got a kid. If something wouldn't have happened to my mom, I would have never came to Ohio, met my wife, and have 2 wonderful kids, and have the life that I have. But I really saw that being deployed. You know, I saw the times that God was faithful to me, and I'm like, okay, it's my turn. It's my turn to keep the faith. So when you go into a military deployment, you know, everything's set out. They literally treat you like you have an IQ of 0. Like, they plan out everything for you. You don't have to think about the day-to-day. So it leaves you with a lot of extra time. And you have to find time. You have to find a way to put something into that time, or you're going to find the wrong crowd, and you're gonna start doing things you shouldn't be doing. The base that I was at, they actually allowed drinking, and it was like 3 drinks a day. And I knew guys that went there every single day. And they got their limit. Also, being that it is overseas, this is one of the few bases that allows men and women to go into each other's rooms, which that's huge there. I mean, I'm talking about guys that have families and stuff, and then you go overseas and you're getting tempted with all these lonely men and women, and things happen. So you got to really find where you're going, and you got to find people that are going in the right direction. They had a quite a big like church program over there. Unfortunately, I didn't really participate much in it because I worked a lot. But I found a couple guys that were really awesome. They were faithful guys. They were dedicated guys. and I started working out. So the extra time that I had, I worked out. And then the times that I was alone, I was talking to my wife, or I was building my relationship with God. So I think the people that you hang around is huge. I mean, that's definitely going to show what you're going to produce and how you're going to become. So.
Yeah. I think through both of those, I mean, there's definitely some points that we can kind of learn from that really apply. I mean, obviously, military life is so much different than civilian life and deployment life, but those principles of the things you're talking about, not being alone, right, of really focusing in on the personal relationship with God, like, that's where it's at, and that actually transfers over to each and every one of our lives and in our spiritual walk and in growing our faith so that we can leave that legacy as well. So, cool, man. Well, guys, I just want to thank you guys for sharing. I know it's probably wasn't always the easiest to jump up here and talk a bunch of people stuff, but it's just been an honor to have you guys as a part of that and sharing some of your story. So before you jump off stage here, I do want to just pray over both of you if we could. So, and even from the audience, if you would maybe extend your hand as a symbol of a friend of prayer, a blessing over these two would be incredible. So, cool. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you right now for John and Jim, God. I thank you so much just for their story. God, I thank you for they're willing to sacrifice and to serve our country, God. And really, it's just an incredible example of following Jesus is how he served and sacrificed for us, God. And God, I just thank you for each one of their stories right now. And thank you for their life of faith, God. And God, it's creating and unlocking their legacy right now, God. And it's amazing just to watch as it's unfolding, God. And we just thank you for them. We pray that you go before them in their families and their marriages and in their lives, God. And I just ask that you just do an incredible work in them. We just thank you right now. We lift them up to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool. Well, let's give them a round of applause. So, again, too, that's what it is, right? It's this life of faith that unlocks a legacy. And if you look at them again, and in a way, they are both incredible heroes. And they're incredible heroes because they live this life of faith out. And how they do it is how we need to do it too. You heard them talk about it. Resist isolation. Resist isolation. With everything we have, resist isolation. Because faith doesn't happen in isolation. Faith happens in community. So we need to surround ourselves with good people, with godly people too. Faith happens in that community. And not only that, we need to understand that we're never alone. You both heard him talk about pursuing a personal relationship with God. That's that idea of never being alone. So resist isolation. And then number two is search for God that's around us. Jim's story is just incredible to me. He really met Jesus, right? Through a rap song from a fight that he watched. That's searching for God in your surroundings, right? John, driving to work at 7:30 in the morning, just broke down. That's searching and allowing God to be in his surroundings. I think for all of us, God's in our surroundings. We just have to search for him. We have to look for him in those areas, whether it's the music we listen to, the podcast, the books we read, the movies we read, maybe it's just the places we go. We can realize that God is a part of that, and we need to search for him in our surroundings. And then number three was to submit to godly leadership. If you listen to both of them, they had people in their lives that poured into them. We have people in our lives that can pour into us, but we have to let them. We have to allow them. There's this whole walk of faith, this whole chasing after this legacy. We're not supposed to do it alone, and there's people that are a step or two before us, but we have to allow them to speak into our lives. We have to submit to that godly leadership. We do these things, we can live that life of faith, and we can unlock a legacy. Well, let's close in prayer, and then we'll go into a time of worship. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you right now. God, we thank you for these stories of faith. God, we thank you for these proofs that we can live this out as well, God, and that we can unlock a legacy in our lives. God, I pray that you will help us, God. God, help us to resist isolation in our lives. Help us to resist isolation with everything we have, God, and to put godly and good people around us. And not only that, God, let us continue to grow our personal relationship with you. God, I pray that we seek you and we search after you in our surroundings. I pray that we can find you in every area, God, and we allow you to be in our presence, God. And then, God, I pray that you will put people in our life that can lead us where we need to go and help us to submit that. God, we thank you for these stories today, and we thank you for the story that you're working in and through us right now. And God, let us have the faith to walk it out and to live it out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you're listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.